This farm was originally called Vestergården, the Westerly Farm, according to its position in the village. Today, we call it Regnell's, named after Jonas Regnell, who bought it in 1838. Regnell was a man to be noticed in Ringsjö, with several occupations, including organist, farmer, local politician, county clerk, and auctioneer. His many activities generated the wealth he needed to restore the farm buildings. Observe the red building. You can see a piece of horizontal trim between the ground and the first floors. This indicates that the house was originally only one story high, and it is said that Regnell had the second story added. With this addition, it matched the brown master's residence, which had been built with two stories. It's fairly common that farm buildings in Hälsingland are built at right angles to each other. The family lived in the red house. There we see two chimneys from the kitchen and the Brustuga brewery at each end of the lower story. But the proud and independent Hälsingland farmers wanted to build in a showy fashion. Why not build an extra house, just for celebrations? The brown house contains fancy party rooms on both floors, and in the center are small chambers for housing the guests. Regnell had the house decorated according to the fashion of the time. He got help from the Knutespojkarna, men from a well-known painting family in Dalecarlia. These craftsmen gladly offered their services to the wealthy Hälsingland farmers, who in turn wanted colorful and classy paintings in their houses. Both patterned stencil and faux marble paintings decorate the two houses here at Regnell's. By the mid-19th century, decorative printed wallpaper began to compete with hand-painted walls. Of course, Regnell's also boasts several exclusive early wallpaper prints. Jonas Regnell died in 1869 of a stroke, and his son passed away a mere 4 years after him. Thus, the farm went to the grandson, Jonas Victorsson Regnell, a young man of 20 years. With this change of ownership came a tragic change of fortune for the farm. Jonas liked not only the bottle, but gambling, and he mismanaged and put the farm in hock. Eventually, he lost it to another branch of the family, and the farm's last private owner was Per Johnson. He sold the farm to the newly formed Heritage Farm Society in 1949. Some of the Regnell buildings remain standing on their original sites. In the field, down towards the road, you can see the threshing barn. Windows and an area for serving have been added on, and it can be hired for parties. Diagonally across the yard from Regnell's are twin storage buildings on raised posts. This is where the grain harvest was kept. It was a safe place for storing other food and valuables as well, not only as the post construction gave protection against rodents, but even the robust old locks ensured that not just anyone could get in. The final building belonging to the Regnell estate is also the oldest of those standing on their original site. The old flax shed can date back from the 17th century. Today, it is attached to the society's kitchen. You can see that the flax shed has an antique lighting solution. There are small openings just under the roof with sliding panels to let in light as well as to ventilate while flax was drying. But how could the farmers from Hälsingland build such impressive houses? The commonly held belief was long that flax and linen production were behind the wealth, but that is only part of the story. Forest land was also important, providing lumber and fuel as well as summer grazing. Moreover, Hälsingland was free of nobility and could thus have draft horses and till larger fields. But it is true that raising flax and making linen were widespread and successful industries in the whole province. Flax sheds still dot the landscape, but there were many more during the heyday of linen. And in most creeks and streams, there were water wheels to drive the linen scutches. Over the years, numerous local inventions came into play to rationalize and improve mechanical linen production. This clever tinkering, along with the fertile soil and suitable climate, are what helped make linen such a successful venture. Can you see the summer pasture in the forest glade beyond the weaving cottage? It was common that many farmers shared a summer pasture away from the farms in the woods. Vesterby had its pasture area about 3 miles northwest of the village. The main house with a fireplace and one of the smaller bunkhouses have been moved here. Feel free to look into these old structures. Life on the summer pasture may seem idyllic, but it was not for the lazy. The young women who worked there have told of their long days filled with specific tasks, up early for milking and cleaning stalls, then making cheese and butter or cooking whey, all before taking the animals out to graze during the day. And while the animals grazed, no hands were idle. Perhaps time to sew on a fine gift for one's husband-to-be? And at the end of the day, it was time to gather the animals for going home, only to milk again and continue putting up the winter's dairy supplies. Occasionally, someone would visit from the farm, bringing home cheese and butter for storage. We round off this guide with some musical cow calling, kuling in Swedish. This was a way for the women to communicate with each other while up at the summer pasture. They could warn others about predators, they could help each other find stray animals, and of course, they could call in their own livestock. Thank you for listening.